It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Heads up, if you're wondering what progress Attorney General Merrick Garland is making in holding accountable the people responsible for the January 6th attack on the Capitol, well, we may find out on Wednesday as Merrick Garland is scheduled to update the country on the progress made by the Department of Justice. Stay tuned. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said on Monday that the Senate would vote by January 17th on changing the filibuster rule if Republicans continue to use it to block voting rights legislation. Democrats have been pushing federal legislation to protect voting rights as Republicans in states they control enact new voting restrictions. They say the laws are necessary to prevent fraud in voting, and they accuse Democrats in Washington of trying to overstep their authority. But Chuck Schumer said passing federal measures to protect voting rights is necessary to, quote, protect the foundation of our democracy, free and fair elections. Although, in an interview on Monday on the Nicole Sandler Show, David Dayen of the American Prospect explained that of the two voting rights bills under discussion, neither one would address that problem.
The dirty secret is the bills that are being discussed don't really deal with the changes in election administration and the fact that legislatures, mainly in Georgia right now, this is the issue, that the legislature can essentially take control of the election administration mechanism. That's not something that's really contemplated in these bills. Even if they overturn the filibuster and go ahead and pass the Freedom to Vote Act, or I think that's what it's called.
Right, the Freedom to Vote, and then the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement.
And even the John Lewis.
It's not in there.
That doesn't change this whole election administration thing, which is really the most dangerous part. Like, you've pinpointed it. That's the most dangerous thing right now.
Well, we may be sick and tired of COVID, but COVID's not done with us yet. New infections jumped to a record of over a million on Monday. More specifically, 1,082,549 new cases were reported, according to Johns Hopkins University data. The surge has come as the very infectious Omicron variant continues to infect people nationwide. More than 103,000 were hospitalized with COVID-19 on Monday alone. That's the most since the summer surge, according to the Washington Post. Hospitalizations for COVID-19 have risen by 27% in the past week, as the daily average of new cases more than doubled, but deaths declined by 8%. So we got that going for us. The total number of coronavirus cases in the U.S. has now reached 56,189,547, with 827,748 deaths. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are scheduled to meet with the White House coronavirus response team on Tuesday to discuss the next steps to take as they fight Omicron. The FDA on Monday signed off on giving Pfizer COVID-19 booster shots to children between the ages of 12 and 15. They also shortened the minimum wait time for a booster by 1 month, so people are eligible for the third Pfizer dose 5 months after getting the second shot. The Centers for Disease Control will likely approve this change this week. Senator Rob Portman of Ohio tested positive for COVID in an at-home test Monday night. That means he will not be in Washington, D.C. this week for votes. In other news, New York Attorney General Letitia James' office has subpoenaed Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump under an investigation into the business practices of their father, the former guy. The inquiry focuses on whether Trump inflated the value of his properties to get better loans and underestimated them to get lower tax bills. Lawyers for the Trump Organization and the adult Trump children are trying to block James' office from questioning any of them. The subpoenas for Trump, Trump Jr., and Ivanka Trump were all issued on December 1st. James' office did question Eric Trump, the other son, back in October of 2020. And the trial of Elizabeth Holmes, remember her, the founder of Theranos? It's finally just about over. On Monday, the jury returned a guilty verdict on 4 counts out of 11, including conspiring to defraud and defrauding investors though she was found not guilty of the same charges relating to paying patients. The jury deadlocked on an additional 3 counts. Holmes' sentence will be determined by a judge at a later date. Each guilty count, though, carries a maximum of 20 years in prison plus a $250,000 fine. Just days before the anniversary of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, the former president endorsed a man who much of Europe considers a threat to democracy, Viktor Orban of Hungary. 6 opposition parties coalesced around Orban's opposition leader. The parliamentary elections are planned for this spring, but Trump put out a statement that read, quote, Viktor Orban of Hungary truly loves his country and wants safety for his people. He has done a powerful and wonderful job in protecting Hungary, stopping illegal immigration, creating jobs, trade, and should be allowed to continue to do so in the upcoming election. He is a strong leader and respected by all. He has my complete support, with a capital C, and endorsement, capital E, for re-election as prime minister. Seriously? Orban's party has introduced a new constitution that weakened judicial independence and human rights protections. He's also curbed the rights of journalists and expanded government control of the media. Well, it's no wonder that Trump likes him, and his minions at Fox do too. Like here, Tucker Carlson apparently doesn't understand that the United States supports democracy around the world.
Right, but hold on, why would we take Ukraine's side and not Russia's side? It's a sincere question. If you're looking from the American perspective, no, but why? I mean, who's got the energy reserves? Who's the major player in world affairs? Who's the potential counterbalance against China, which is the actual threat? Why would we take Ukraine's side? Why wouldn't we be on Russia's side? I'm totally confused.
Ukraine is a democracy. Russia is an authoritarian regime that is seeking to impose its will upon a validly elected democracy in Ukraine. And we're on the side of democracy. That's why people were chasing those planes in Afghanistan and wouldn't be chasing Russian ones. We're for democracy. We're for liberty. We're not for authoritarian regimes coming in and changing borders by tanks. Russia isn't showing up on the border with ballot boxes. They're showing up on the border with tanks. And that's why we need to make certain we're on the side of democracy.
Yeah, I'm guessing for democracy in other countries, I guess.
I guess? He guesses? Okay. And finally, the weather. The Washington, D.C., Virginia, and Maryland region got 5 to 10 inches of snow on Monday, the most in 3 years. But they weren't alone. Parts of Alabama, Tennessee, and North Carolina saw snow as well. But hundreds of thousands of people still don't have power. At least 3 people died in a storm-related crash. And, well, the understatement of the day, major traffic delays continued Tuesday morning. Thousands of motorists are stuck in hell. Make that on I-95 in Virginia, where the highway is now a parking lot. A friend of mine, reporter Jim DeFiti of Miami CBS 4, has been stuck on I-95 for almost 24 hours already. He updated us on Twitter.
All right, I got an update. It's almost 10 a.m., which means I've been in the car for 24 hours. I left New York at 10 a.m. yesterday. It's now 10 a.m. Tuesday. I've been in the same spot in Virginia, just south of Quantico, for at least 17, almost 18 hours. And I just got an alert on my phone from the Virginia Department of Transportation saying, I-95 drivers, state and locals coming ASAP with supplies and to move you. I am not reassured by this message.
Hey, Governor Youngkin, what's going on? Stay warm, Jim. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.